In the last week or so, there hasn't been that much sunny weather to enjoy. Because as I lived in Germany, that I discovered that there's gloomy people in gloomy places. I was up in the bomb holder, and it was seldom a sunny day. And so what I would like for you to do, if you will, say happy Sabbath and shake someone's hands, because when the sun is out, that normally I see smiles on your face. So say happy Sabbath to someone today, because I see you got frowns on your face because it's been gloomy. So do that. At least welcome the visitors today. Amen. I see the smiles coming out. I can see the sun starting to shine now, even much brighter now. That's enough. That's enough. You can sit down now. You can sit down. I tell you, it's wonderful to be in the house of worship today. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be your guest speaker today. On behalf of Pastor Bushnell, I want to invite the visitors to stay for our fellowship potluck after service. Let's keep the pastor and his family in our prayers as they travel up and down the highways serving two churches. In the bulletin, it mentioned about in the Honolulu area, crime has been happening in some churches. But closer to home, my wife had an incident right here in our fellowship hall. As you know how women are, that they get busy serving us during potluck and serving us to take care of the whole church. But one day as she set her bag down, her purse was in it. And at the potluck, she looked in her purse and she looked in her bag and we couldn't find her purse. We checked the fellowship hall. We checked the church. And we even went home and, you know, we checked the car and we even went home and said, maybe she left it at home. We got home, started searching all through the house on that Sabbath evening. And that Sunday, we said that if we couldn't find it, that we would cancel all the credit cards and cancel all her, all the other cards that she had. That Monday morning, early that Monday morning, our phone rung. And it was the water department saying that they had found a wallet at Wilson Lake. And it was her wallet. And it was turned over. And it's the reason I'm telling you this story is not to upset you. The reason I'm telling you this is because God is blessing. Now, what happened was that someone did take her credit card and used it to buy gas and wire. Well, I hope, thank God they didn't go down to Macy's. But they went and bought gas and why. And if nothing else, people should be able to worship in peace. Amen? People should be able to come in God's house. You know, I recall when I was growing up, people would be careful when they was walking outside of a church. So the title of my sermon today is Whatever Happened to Right or Wrong. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, take away all foolishness today. Let us see your example of how you want us to live. These blessings we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past week there has been a lot of rain. There's been a lot of rain all over the islands. And some of this rain has created floods. In other parts of the island, it has created beautiful waterfalls. My friend, imagine just for a second, one beautiful sunny day, you and I are standing near the base of an awesome, beautiful waterfall. And as we watch that waterfall high up, we notice something that seems impossible, absolutely incredible. Instead of the water falling down, the water is moving up from the bottom of the cliff to the top of the cliff. And you ask me, Elder Greer, did you see that? You ask me, grabbing my arm. And I calmly reply, haven't you heard? The law of gravity has been done away with. So now water can flow in any direction that it wants. On that same day, you step into my house, only to find my wife, Yoon, eating a big plate of rat poison. And you said, stop. What are you doing, Yoon? You can't eat rat poison. And Yoon turns to you and says, haven't you heard? The laws of health has been done away with. So we can eat anything that we want to, and it will not hurt us. And actually, the stuff's pretty good. You want some? Friends, I'm happy to tell you today that the laws of nature are still in effect. God made them, and they have never been canceled. I'm also happy to tell you that the health laws are still in effect. God made them too, and they have never been canceled. My friends, do you know what you can hear preached all over the world today? That God's greatest commandments of all, the Ten Commandments that he wrote with his own fingers, have been done away with. That it no longer applies to us. Then if it's true, then it's okay to steal. It's okay to murder. You can do whatever you want. The Ten Commandments is no good anymore. It doesn't apply to us. You can leave the church and do whatever you want. You can come in here and say, happy Sabbath and smile, and go out and cuss your neighbor out the next day. Because it doesn't apply anymore. The Ten Commandments is done away with, if that's true. So you know, church, what we might as well do, we might as well close our Bibles and pack them up and leave if the Ten Commandments have been done away with. But, my friends, I'm here to tell you that the Ten Commandments have not been done away with. And it still applies to each and every one of us today. Amen. My friends, could there be a connection that teaching that God's law is no longer in effect and the epidemic of violence, immorality that we see all around us today? Could there be a connection that teaching that God's law has been done away with it and the fact that few people believe or know the difference between right and wrong? Whatever happened to right and wrong? It seems like if people like it and it feels good, then it must be right. We want to do our own thing. Just look around you today. Crime, murder, from Mexico to Pakistan, from New York to Honolulu, even in paradise, two women was killed recently. One was stabbed to death. The other was beaten to death in our streets with a shotgun. Violence. Violence even affecting the innocent. With 23-month baby Cyrus being thrown off the overpass of the H1 highway onto his death. How sad. That really hurt me to my heart when I heard that news, because it could have been any of our kids. How sad. How so sad. Can you explain this epidemic of violence? What is the cause of this violence in our society? My friends, society just doesn't want restrictions. They want love without law. You see, society, they reject the God's law, the standard of morality. There's no more moral right or moral wrong. Right or wrong has become a matter of your own conscience today. We have lost our moral compass. We have lost our direction somewhere. Our sense of right or wrong is just turned upside down. My friends, our society has rejected any authority beyond our own opinion. Proverbs 28:6 warns us, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. I try not to trust in my heart because I try to trust in God. When Adam and Eve sinned, the nature of man changed from righteousness to unrighteousness. Man's sinful mind will not lead us to peace. A sinful mind will only lead us to lawlessness. You heard about religious liberties that Bob had talked about earlier. Today, my friends, lawlessness is leading some religious leaders to propose to legislate morality. We hear about change. We hear about Obama, Clinton, and all the politicians talk about change. But we should never forget the lessons of history. History reveals when the church and state unites, the rights of the minority are trampled on. Legislation is not that solution. You may ask, Elder Greer, what's the answer? My friends, the Bible reveals it. The answer is not a revolution in society, but a revolution in the human heart. Not in the government, but what happens in your heart and my heart. You see, my friends, God's command stands forever. It was not just given to an ancient society or an ancient generation. It's for men and women of all times and for all ages. Psalms 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." We don't need nothing else. The law of the Lord is perfect. Then let me ask you a question, church. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Because the answer is right in your hands. The law of the Lord is perfect. You see, in society, we cast off God's laws. We accept our individual opinion as being supreme. We reject all moral constraints. But God's law is the moral standard of righteousness. You know, it's estimated that there have been 35 million laws to control human behavior. But the God Almighty has given us just 10 commands. Isn't that something? You hear about the change is about to come. Listen in the news, a change is about to come. They want to legislate. They want to change things. But the change is in our hearts. The principle of God's law is eternal. God's law defines what's right and what's wrong. As much as I love you, church, my opinion and your opinion is irrelevant. I'll say that again. Your opinion and my opinion is irrelevant. Because God wrote the Ten Commandments, the code of ethics, on the table of stone with his own finger. And that's why Satan hates God's law so much. He rejected God's authority and accepted his own opinion as the final authority. Satan, that once magnificent angel, led a rebellion in heaven. Satan declared it wasn't necessary anymore to obey God, and Satan lost heaven. One third of the angels followed him, and they lost heaven. They rejected God's authority and tried to be their own gods, tried to do their own thing. You know how we like to do our own thing sometimes. They tried to do their own thing. The rebellion continued. Satan led the rebellion on earth. He used the same lies on Adam and Eve. He says, you too can be your own God. You too, your opinion too can be the final authority. Adam and Eve, they lost the perfect garden home because they had other gods before them. They placed themselves above God. They broke the relationship with the Creator, and they lost the garden through rebellion. No, my friends, God wrote the commandments on tables of stone because human beings broke God's law that was written in their hearts. Remember Cain and Abel? Was it sin for Cain to kill Abel? Yes, that's obvious. It was sin for Cain to kill Abel. Because the Bible plainly say in Romans 4:15, it says, where there's no law, there's no transgression. John 1:3-4 says, sin is a transgression of the law. But you may ask, Elder Graham, how about this grace thing? Because that's a long time ago you're talking about. Didn't Jesus do away with that thing in the New Testament? Didn't Jesus do away with God's law, the standards of morality? My friends, in the New Testament, Jesus upheld the claims of the law in his own life. Jesus, he's our pattern. Not the pastor, not the elders, not the deaconess, but Jesus is our only pattern. You see, Jesus put the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments became flesh. They became walking. You shall have no other gods before me. It became walking. You shall not commit adultery. It became walking. And the commandments should become alive in our hearts today. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17-18, he says, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, until heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot, one tittle, by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Amen. And guess what? Jesus fulfilled the law in his life when he died up on the cross for you and me. When Jesus forgave sin, he didn't say, the law is nailed to the cross. Madam, go and out and commit adultery again. Oh, no. He said, go and sin no more. You see, Jesus does not lead us to do wrong. He leads us to do right. So whatever happened to right and wrong, it still exists today. But it's up to you to choose the right over the wrong. Amen? It's up to you to choose the right way, the right things over the wrong. Are you struggling with sin today? You need to come to Jesus because our sins can be forgiven. Your guilt can be gone. God's grace does not only forgive, but it also empowers us. Amen. The grace that changes lives. You don't have to be stuck where you're at in that hole. You don't have to be stuck in that depression. Because God, Jesus' grace, it changes lives. Amen. What's your struggle? Immorality? Stealing? Tobacco? Alcohol? Drugs? The grace of God forgives. When it enters your heart, it changes your life to do what is right. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Some may say, I love him. I love him so much. That's all I need. All you need is love. You heard that song. All you ever need is love. But that's not it. Because God's love always leads to what? Obedience. Some think that keeping the commandments and doing the right thing is some sort of legalistic requirement. You don't do this. You don't do that. I remember when I first came at Venice, I went and the commissary was shopping, and I met up with this other old-time Adventist in the commissary, and it seemed like he was looking into my cart to see what I was buying. And I'm as a new Adventist, what is this all about? is this all about? You see, the commands in doing the right thing should never be a burden. That cart was his problem. Loving God was mine. Love always leads to obedience and never to disobedience, and it is never a burden. The story was told of a son went to his dad and says, "Dad, I love you." Dad replies, "Oh, son, you love me? That's wonderful. Mow the grass, take out the trash, and clean your room." Son said, "Dad, get practical. I don't love you that much." You see, love always leads to obedience, though. The Bible says the law cannot justify us or save us, but the law can only point us in the right direction to do the right thing, right or wrong. The law is like a mirror. Last week, I had the opportunity to talk to one of our members in the back of the church, Mother Kojima. As we sat in the back, and, you know, I thought I was going back there to just share some time with her. But I share a life with her. Because what she explained to me, when her and her husband started a long time ago, their walk with Christ. It started with an act of kindness. And they was taking these small little steps as they was going down this journey of grace. When they was taking Bible studies, they wasn't told not to do this and not to do that and start looking like an Adventist after their first lesson. Oh, no. She shared with me that one day she came to church and had a little makeup on. And she looked around and saw the other ladies didn't have any makeup on or even no jewelry. And so she asked the person that was giving her Bible study, "Why? Why didn't you tell me?" And the person says, "Because we didn't get to it yet." You know, sometimes we try to hit somebody over the head and think that they should be Adventist after the first lesson like we have for 20 or 30 years. I remember myself in the early 70s being invited to a Seventh-day Adventist church for the first time. Thought it was hot. I was wearing my hot pink suit, my platform shoes, my little afro. I knew I was hot. And the people was just shaking their head. Where did this guy come from? You know, my friends, it's like a mirror. Should we get rid of the mirror? Oh, no, because the mirror reflects who we are. The Ten Commandments reflects who we are. And that Ten Commandments made me clean up. It made me step up to the plate. Not because someone was forcing me or because someone said, "Do this or do that." It took these little steps of love. And that's what we need today. We need to know the difference between right and wrong. In closing, can you play 312 for me there, Brother Harvey? See, because the law reveals what sin is. And that right still exists in Jesus Christ. Don't look for right in Elder Greer. Don't look for right in Elder Ellis or Kuwaiti. Look for the pattern maker. Look towards Jesus Christ. By faith, I accept Christ at the place of death. I accept him because I know I'm no good. I will always take the wrong choice. If you give me something, I'm going to mess it up good. I'm going to mess my life up. I'm not going to do the right thing unless I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You know, my friends, you know, we always say there's tomorrow. But tomorrow may not make it. And you may say to yourself, "I'm not ready. I always do the wrong thing." You know, sometime in your life is like this clear water here. You start off having the best intentions in life, but things get in your way. You get a little cloudy here when your boss tells you to do something you don't want to do. It get a little even darker when the kids start acting up and you don't know which way to turn. You know, so you try to do it yourself. You try to take each step yourself and try to stir it up. And guess what? You just mess it up. It just gets darker. Your life just gets darker and darker, not knowing that the answer is in Jesus Christ. No, we always try to do things our own way. But the answer to right and wrong is right in your hands today. If you accept Jesus in your life. See, Jesus, in the beginning, it may seem a little hard. Because your friends may not accept you anymore. Your family members may not accept you anymore. And so when you come to Jesus and lay down in the baptismal pool, things start getting clearer and clearer and clearer until you can start seeing. You can start seeing through all that muck and grime and dirt that was in your life. And you can start seeing what Jesus had done for you. And then you don't have to ask the question, whatever happened to right or wrong? Because you know it exists. Only thing we have to do is accept it. And it's near the cross. If you turn with me, and if you believe that, turn to page 312, our closing hymn, near the cross. Because that's where the place of acceptance is today.